on 2UE. George and Paul's Crime File.
And today it's, darling, you do the renovating, just give me the bills. Yes. Oh, no, it was the other way around. He said it too. Darling, you do the renovating, just give me the bills.
He did. And regretting it to this day.
Yeah.
Now, when Coles Myer boss, Brian Quinn, he's very high profile, this bloke, bought a modest two-bedroom house on a generous block at leafy Templestowe in Melbourne's fashionable eastern suburbs for $440,000 in 1982. That was a drink in 1982, wasn't it?
It was a lot of money.
$440,000. So absolutely. It must have been a lovely home as it was.
Interest rates were pretty high in those days, too.
I think they were.
82?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
They were. And he said to his wife, darling, you do the renovations and just give me the bills.
What a husband. Gee, hey, we could all follow his lead, couldn't we?
He was too busy at Coles Myer, making plenty of profits there for him.
Okay.
Little did he realise that the budget they set would be passed in a minute and the house would end up costing a fortune, even by today's standards, and he would wind up in the clink. It seemed as though a lot of the money that was used for the renovations was paid for by the company Brian Quinn had so brilliantly managed for 36 years. But, loyal employee or not, the shareholders were far from impressed, and he ended up in court and eventually wound up in a place exactly the opposite he had imagined where he would spend his retirement. At the time of the indiscretions, Brian Quinn was one of Australia's most liked and respected businessmen who had started dirt poor right at the very bottom and ended up at the top, delivering healthy profits year in and year out for the only company he had ever worked for all his life. He began sweeping floors in a Coles store in Adelaide in 1956 and over the years worked in every facet of retailing until he was chief executive on a salary of $1.5 million a year. If you think about it, $1.5 million a year is 30 grand a week. And according to the Coles Myers board of directors, he was worth every cent. Along the way, the boy from humble beginnings was elected to the board of the Reserve Bank, collected an Order of Australia, and ran the business with a turnover in excess of $10 billion per annum. When he retired in 1992, he did so with the reputation of that of one of Australia's most respected leaders of commerce. But there were a few unpleasant skeletons lurking in Brian Quinn's closet, and they would be hung out to dry in the years to come. When the Quinns bought the house in Templestowe, it was with the intention of renovating it into a comfortable family home, given that they had been described as the perfect couple, in that he could earn money like no other, and his wife Trina could spend it even faster.
The perfect couple.
Absolutely perfect couple. Yeah. She could spend it even faster than he earned it, than he made it. It seemed like a marriage made in heaven. And so, with a budget of $250,000, Mrs. Quinn set about building their home for them and their young family. Once the shell of the house, which was described as resembling the Palace of Versailles, now we've both been to the Palace of Versailles. Well, once the Palace of Versailles was finished, the fittings to the palace and the external construction began. This included a tennis court and spa, a floodlit cricket pitch, and an 8-car garage.
This was a humble home. They've basically redone it.
I can see the ad now. 2-bedroom bungalow.
Yeah.
In Templestowe.
Has been renovated.
In Templestowe. Oh, renovating prospects. Yeah. You ready for this lot?
Yeah.
The entire initial budget of more than $250,000 was spent on marble floors and walls alone. Another $100,000 for glass in the windows and the imported toilet suites cost around $5,000 each. And remember, this was in 1982. not happy with the first new lot of flooring of the house. Mrs. Quinn had it demolished before anyone had set foot on it, and another floor, more to her choosing, was installed. The air conditioning system was removed and reinstalled at a cost of $242,000 simply because the vents were visible. The painting bill came in at $1 million for a house which was almost entirely wallpapered.
What, you're kidding? No. Did the painters do the wallpapering as well?
No, they must have just had to do around the edges. Mrs. Quinn was said to have run her hand over a wall after a sixth coat of varnish had been applied, only to tell the workman to rub it down and give it another coat. Mrs. Quinn was also unhappy with the ultra-modern kitchen when she saw a better one in a magazine, so she had it ripped out and updated without so much a tin of beluga caviar ever being opened in it. Unhappy with the shade of the imported marble in one of the guests' powder rooms after the tradesman had spent forever and a day lovingly installing it, Mrs. Quinn had it replaced with a different coloured marble, more of her choosing, and at a cost of more than $100,000. For 6 years, the trucks kept coming and going from dawn until long into the night. At any given time during working hours, there would be as many as 20 work vehicles in the street out the front. When it was finished, the house and grounds took up... You ready? Took up five suburban blocks.
Oh, so they must have enlarged the two... They must have bought a whole lot of houses around it and demolished them.
Must have done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Started out as a two-bedroom bungalow.
It's ringing in his ears, I think. Darling, just start renovating and give me the bills.
Gee.
Anyway, it took up five suburban blocks. Altogether, this is with a budget of $250,000, altogether it had cost $6 million.
She'd do well in government, wouldn't she? Because that's what they do.
Such was Mrs. Quinn's exquisite taste that 8 years later, the Quinn Mansion sold for just $1.9 million. In the understatement of the century, it was said that the palace was a slight case of overcapitalisation. Wouldn't you think so?
Gee.
Sold for $1.9 million.
Somebody got a bargain, though.
Yeah, someone certainly did. Yeah. But... for long before the sale of the house at its staggering loss, tongues had been wagging that Brian Quinn didn't have that kind of money to throw around, and an investigation into the origin of some of the payments that had been paid for the renovations was put in motion. The suspicions were correct. Some of the payments had come from Coles Myer, imported marble, granite, gold-plated taps, the marble-floored tennis pavilion, the floodlit tennis court, guttering, plumbing, swimming pool and crystal chandeliers were all charged to Meyer's account. But proving that a man such as Brian Quinn was corrupt wasn't going to be easy, and it wasn't until April 1997 that the former CEO of Coles Myer and a former Coles National Maintenance Manager, a certain Mr. Graham Lanyon, pleaded not guilty in court to defrauding Coles Myer of $4.6 million between September 1982 and October 1988. As it would turn out, it seemed as though Brian Quinn was a victim of excess rather than a lack of personal funds. He wasn't short of money. The Supreme Court jury was told that the former Coles Myer chief received $8.1 million in salary payments over 10 years, which included a $1 million retainer to ensure that he did not leave the company. Salary figures for Mr. Quinn ranged from $232,000 in 1983-84 to $1.425 million in 1991-92.
So essentially he could have paid for all this himself.
Yep.
But he didn't.
Seems to be that way,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Crown alleged that on Brian Quinn's instructions, the Coles Myer maintenance manager, this Mr. Lanyon, was writing checks and burying the costs in the company books for work allegedly done on Coles projects when in fact they were payment for the army of workers and mountains of materials coming and going into the Quinn Mansion. In his defence, Brian Quinn's counsel maintained that as a Coles executive, he was entitled to have some improvements to the house paid for by Coles.